Welcome to DCS Foster Parent Talks, a podcast production of the Tennessee Department of Children's Services. The intention of DCS Foster Parent Talks is to provide flexible training on a multitude of topics in an on-the-go format for foster parents. My name is Amanda Law, a coach and trainer with DCS, and I am your host for today's edition. So today we're going to talk a little bit about self-care when you're also foster parenting. So I have Jenny Sanders here with me today, who is a foster parent in Tennessee. And we're going to talk a little bit about what self-care looks like when you're also foster parenting. First of all, welcome and thank you for doing this.
Thank you. And of course, and I have a whole list. I had asked foster parents to help me out with things that they did, so we can talk about those. For me, sometimes it's just standing in the shower.
Yeah.
And that peace, and just let the hot water run over. And I say that because we moved into a house and doesn't have a bathtub. So if you got a bathtub, go soak.
Right.
But just things that you can unplug. I love to read and journal. So those things, you know, to me are my escape.
Right.
Of just, you know, time for me and being able to do some self-care that way. Something I enjoy.
Yeah. Things that revitalize you.
Yes. Because if we're only pouring out.
Right.
And not filling back up. There's nothing left to give.
The old adage of, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
That's right.
And self-care really fills the cup back up.
Yes.
So you said that you talked to some other foster parents about the ways that they, you know, the activities that they do to self-care on the daily basis. So what did you hear back from them?
Some of them were quite interesting. One I need to try. Flotation. Have you ever heard of flotation? She says she goes and she floats and it's at the salt.
You know what? I have heard of that. It's a very high salt content. You float really high in the water.
Yes. So
I forgot that was a thing.
That's something I think I'm going to have to try after seeing it on there and then doing some of the research. I'm like, oh, I need to go float.
Right.
So that was something that was new to me. And then some of the everyday things of just, you know, they have a show that they love to watch. So
right.
After the kids are down, you know, they go in and they take that time to just watch their show and not have to think about
right
all the things that happen. Just enjoy, you know, the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get food, takeout food, and after the kids are in bed,
right,
they go get their favorite takeout and come home and spend time together and watch TV.
Who doesn't have that? The stash of things that are there that they only appear when children are gone or asleep.
Yes. Grocery shopping alone was a big one.
Oh.
I would rather just do the Walmart checklist and somebody go pick them up for me.
Right, the grocery pickup and you just pull up and they get in your car.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But grocery shopping alone, cooking. People that love to cook, just put me in the kitchen, getting their nails done. And this mom said, I don't even go out. It's not about looking good. It's about having adult time to talk.
Right.
With that person that's doing their nails.
Yeah.
Massages. Going to the movies alone, getting somebody to watch the kids and husband and wife going to the movies. Going to the gym where they provide child care.
Right.
And so you get that free child care while you go and exert some energy.
Yes, I did hear that from foster parent once, that she said she doesn't even really try that hard to exercise.
Yeah.
But they have the TV shows that, or they have the TVs up.
Yeah.
So she'll listen to a TV show on her headphones and just sort of stroll on the treadmill and the kids are being watched. And
that's awesome.
That's a fantastic childcare resource. If you're already paying a gym membership and they offer childcare, why not?
Yes, definitely. Someone said a ladies Bible study where they have childcare there too. Get with other adults and your kids are being taken care of. Drink lots of water. That's very interesting because even for our kids, when we know they're, you know, sugar drops or, you know, we know that food and snacks and water is so important for them, but then we forget about ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, and so I have a big canteen or whatever, you know, and making sure that, you know, I fill that and pay attention to, I need to drink my water.
Right.
Because it really does help.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Encouraging podcasts.
Oh, is that so? You know, DCS has one.
I don't know. Group text threads, which are important because normally as a foster parent, you're not the one, you're not going through something for the first time that nobody else has gone through.
Right.
Somebody's going to have an encouraging word for you. And making sure your village is supported that way, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
So whoever's on those threads, making sure that they know where you're coming from and they aren't just that fix-it person.
They're not the person who's going to say, oh, I could never do that.
Right. But the person that has all the answers, too, it's not really about having all of the answers all the time. It's just somebody that's willing to listen.
Right.
And hear what a person is saying. I love this one. I downloaded the Sonic app. Half-price drinks all day, every day.
That is like, some self-care that I could get on board.
So So I thought those were pretty good. And one mom said, too, she said, it's not always about what you're doing for yourself. It's just at the end of the day, getting to the end of the day and looking and saying, wow, that wasn't a bad day.
Right.
You know, and taking time to acknowledge, even if it was hard, everybody's in bed.
Right.
Everybody's taken care of, you know, and tomorrow we'll wake up and it'll be a new day and we can start over.
Right. That's almost like the idea of practicing gratitude. So that even when it's been a bad day, you think about all of the good things that happened in that day.
And there may only be one or two that day.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. It's just knowing that the next sun's going to come up.
Right.
And we're going to start fresh.
Yes.
And we get another try at this.
Exactly.
And so I think that's important.
Yeah.
So I think another important piece of self-care is being trauma-informed, because when we understand the brain science of trauma, it really helps us understand where we can meet the children when they are having the dysregulation.
Right.
And picking what we are going to do to help that situation. When we talk about discipline, what do we need to train in this circumstance?
Right.
Because if you're not seeing it from that view.
Like a trauma lens.
Yes. Then whatever you're trying to do with the child isn't going to accomplish a long-term goal.
Right.
Or success. And so I know for myself, like, I've gone to trainings that aren't just post-training classes, post-approval classes. I've gone to other trainings in our community, or if I get on and I try to see what the health department's doing and just different places to get other trainings. And the first time that I did that, several years ago, it was very uncomfortable. So that getting comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Right.
It was a bunch of people that worked for the Department of Health. There were some DCS workers there. And I think there was a GAL there that one time too. And I'm sitting and they're going around introducing everybody. I'm like, just a foster parent, you know. And
right.
I wanted to take that just off. Mm-hmm. I'm a foster parent.
Yeah. Which is just as important as every other person.
That's right. But in that first training, I didn't quite feel that way. You know, I was just like, what am I doing? You know, but after that training and learning, and that was an NAS training, after that training and what I learned in that training, I knew it didn't matter who else was going to be in that room.
Right.
In order for me to be the best advocate for my children.
Right.
Then I needed that information. And so finding those trainings that you know are going to help you to be the best advocate, I think it is really important. Once we understand that our children are children that have experienced things that some adults will never experience, and they experience them in such a short time frame.
Right.
And so young and right. trying to understand what they're going through, and they don't. For us to understand it and what is happening to their brains is so important for us to be able to meet them where they are. And then when there is a behavior, to be able to say, okay, this isn't because you don't like spaghetti.
Right.
One example, I had a young girl, when she came to the house, she told me all she wanted was pizza. But we didn't have any frozen pizzas in the house. We had a very busy week that week. And I told her, I said, we will order pizza on Thursday. And she said, okay, that made her happy.
Right.
Well, Thursday came and we got pizza. And when that pizza came, she pulled out cold McDonald's that she had had in her bag from the DCS office when she first came into placement, had some cold chicken nuggets, some cold French fries, and that's what she wanted for dinner after asking for the pizza.
Right.
Being her favorite meal, and that's all she wanted. Well, I could have reacted two different ways,
right?
What I chose to do was ask her if she would like me to heat those up. That's all I said. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask her why she wasn't going to eat the pizza. I didn't ask her, you know, or get on to her because she wasn't going to eat the pizza because we had made it a special thing and gone on our way to get it.
Right.
To bring it to the house. It wasn't about that. It was about her having control in the moment.
Right.
And for whatever reason, she needed it in that moment. And that was okay. Nasty, but
right.
But she was fine.
Right.
And, you know, and she didn't even want it warmed up. She ate it just like it was. She didn't want anything from me. And as a foster parent, you need to realize that's okay.
Right.
It might hurt in the moment of them not letting you in, but it's okay. It's not, that's not a battle worth going to fight for.
Right.
So just things like that, you know, and knowing that when things happen in your house that you are not okay with, right? No
right.
matter what degree it is, understanding the trauma first will help you know how to meet that need to change the behavior.
Right.
If we were just trying to change behavior just to change behavior, that's not the outcome we really need for the children to heal
right.
from the trauma. We can get a child to comply.
Right.
it takes a whole lot more to help a child heal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great point, that that's self-care. And if you don't understand trauma and that behavior happens, right, you order the pizza and she doesn't want it, then it can be really easy for us to feel hurt, mm-hmm. and to think, I did this for you and you don't appreciate it, you know, or whatever talk we have with ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that in that way, that understanding trauma can really be a self-care for us to see it through that trauma lens. And that kind of takes some of the stress of that situation off of us if we understand where that's coming from. Yeah. And that oftentimes it's not about the foster parent. You know, it's about trauma or need for control or something that's going on with the child.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and I'm sure foster parents listening can even think, well, she probably did that because you didn't order it the night that she wanted it, right?
Right.
So tit for tat.
Right.
Right? Which is fine. I need to be fine with that. It wasn't about me having control and not being able to get it. And it's not about her manipulating either. It's really understanding manipulation in and of itself.
Right.
Karen Purvis, The Connected Child, if you've not read the book, read it. She talks about manipulation. She says, you know, it's really about predictability.
Right.
Right. And so for this young girl, you know, I told her it was coming on Thursday. She knew it was coming. She could then control that situation.
Right.
My job as a foster parent is to keep creating predictability for her so that she has felt safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, with time,
right,
and enough care and enough connection, she's going to be okay with it being predictable, controlled by me.
Right.
And her living in that.
Right.
And I have to give her time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I second that recommendation for the connected child. So we've talked about the day-to-day self-care. Do you ever use the prudent parenting? So prudent parenting allows anyone that you would leave your own children with to watch your foster children when you need a break. So do you find yourself, you know, accessing that as a resource and having, you know, kind of your village of people who aren't necessarily foster parents, but who you trust with your own children to watch your foster children?
Yes, I have used friends to take care of my foster children.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it much easier for us to do it that way as well. I'm sure it's easier for DCS and caseworkers not to have us calling them all the time to check on people that we want to leave our children with. But yeah, I do have friends that are able to watch the foster children as well as my birth children. There's been times where, you know, there's CFTMs where I need to go, but the child doesn't need to go.
Right.
And so that's been really nice. Like, I really am glad that that is something that DCS has chosen to implement,
mm-hmm.
as policy. Because it does just make it easier on us as well to do that. I will say something that for our family, and this may not happen for every family, but the eco map that we drew in our PATH class 4 years ago, probably within 3 months of fostering, did not look the same.
Right.
When we introduced other families to our foster child and to her behaviors and to her culture, a lot of that fell away.
Right.
For us. And I can't imagine I'm the only foster parent that has experienced that. I know other foster parents that even talked about grandparents and aunts and uncles that have a hard time,
right,
when it comes to including the foster children as family.
Yeah.
And so it is super important to know who your village is and be okay when your village changes.
Right.
It's hard at first because everybody's so super proud of you when you sign up to be a foster parent.
Right.
You're doing such a great thing. And then soon it becomes, yeah, we didn't know what we were signing up for. Glad you signed up for it, but we're going to, you know, head for the door.
Right.
And that's okay. It's okay. Like, I understand it. I do. I don't like it.
Right.
But I understand it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that, and I tell this to classes that I teach, we really need to build our village with other foster parents. They will have a complete different view and understanding of what we are trying to do.
Right.
Especially when we don't discipline our children the same way.
Yes.
That traditional discipline, look how that looks in other families that are not fostering. You end up having conversations that are so awkward. During the discipline class for 10 Key, you know, I always say, like, if my house was made of glass and people got to stand on the outside and watch me discipline my children, which is teaching and training, it's not punishing.
Right.
They would think I was rewarding bad behavior.
Exactly.
And that's not what I'm doing.
Right.
But that's what it would look like if you stood outside and watched.
Right. If you're not looking through that trauma lens.
Exactly.
Then trauma-informed discipline doesn't make a lot of sense if you don't have that lens.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And so that's partly, you know, that is a big reason we need to make sure that our support system includes foster parents.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I love the Facebook groups, is because you can get on there and just say, hey, is there anybody that could do respite that's close to, you know, and you just say where you live, and it can be arranged that way.
Right.
It just makes sense.
You know? Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, building relationships while you're fostering is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
So if you're trying to build a new relationship with another family that isn't fostering, but you're trying to build this relationship, and you're just like, it's so much easier to build those relationships with foster parents. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put your energy somewhere, that's yeah. where I would tell you to put it. Find people that foster in your area, in your county, and start building relationships.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And the Facebook groups are fantastic. I think there's a group for every city, town, region across all of Tennessee mm-hmm. that you can find other foster parents. I think I live in East Tennessee, so I think I know the Knox County Facebook group has close to 900 members. Yeah. So yeah, I would definitely recommend connecting in those ways.
Yeah. That one of the Facebook groups that I'm a part of is Tennessee Foster Parents. So it's everybody all over the state, which is great because you have a bigger pool of people to say, hey, this is happening. Has this happened to anybody else?
Or right.
what happened when this happened? You know, and people can give their ideas. Now, I think as foster parents, we also have to recognize every region's just a little bit different.
Right.
Even though foster care is everywhere.
Right. Some things are blanket across the state, other things are different depending on region.
Yes. And so sometimes you get those answers, you know, on a thread, and you're like, no, that's not how we do it here. I think we just need to be mindful of that as well and not get angry when it happens somewhere that right. we don't live, but right. it's not happening where we live. That's self-care right there.
Yeah.
Don't be getting angry.
Right. Understand, just know that some things are going to be different depending on where you live.
Yes. The other thing that I think is confusing about respite, though, I do want to say, is it's used two different ways mm-hmm. in the foster care world. So we have respite care for children that are in permanent placement with us that we're saying, we need a breather. Can anybody, you know, take our kids for the weekend?
Right.
But DCS also asks us to do respite for children that do not have a placement yet. They right. just need that overnight house.
Right.
Because they're trying to get them somewhere else. So, and the reason I bring this up is because there was actually some conversation on a Facebook page about mm-hmm. it. And they're like, I didn't know there were respite homes, and, you know, DCS isn't letting people just do respite. They're closing houses if you don't have, you know, placements. Like if you go without a placement for 3 months, then they're looking at your house and wondering if it should still be open. So there was all this confusion, but I think mm-hmm. a way to explain that is respite care for DCS, those are those homes that say, yeah, I can take an overnight.
Right.
You know, or I can take a 3-night. And I will tell you, we have done respite care
right.
for an overnight mm-hmm. that turned into 4 months.
You that know, does happen from
that
time
does
to
happen.
Time.
But the respite care that we're talking about is our self-care respite, where we say, I have a permanent placement.
Right.
And I'm just needing that few days.
So even when you are using prudent parenting, there are guidelines. There's a prudent parenting policy that I would encourage any foster parent to go look at and review. Even if you found a family who said, hey, we'll watch them. Just look over that, because it'll tell you all the little ins and outs about what's okay and what's not okay. But generally, we just mean a family, you know, when we talk about prudent parenting versus respite, prudent parenting is usually when the children are with someone who's not already an approved foster parent. And when it's respite, they are an approved foster parent. So that's really the difference in those two things.
So understanding the difference between which respite you're looking for with the prudent parenting is going to be normally with just people, maybe my sister and brother-in-law, or it's going to be, you know, my parents or my husband's parents. It's going to be people that I leave my children with.
Right.
If I'm looking for respite longer, I'm going to want to look for a foster parent.
Right.
Personally, that's what I would do. And I have had to use longer respite that has to be approved because it's longer than 7 days.
Right.
We have had to do that in the past. And for that, I did use a foster parent. I wanted somebody mm-hmm. that would know the behaviors were going to come up, and they were going to know how to address and meet the child's need, because it's respite isn't about just leaving your kids somewhere. It's about leaving them with somebody that can meet their needs while I'm away.
Right.
Just like I would do for my birth children. I want somebody that I know is going to meet their needs, whatever right. those are, mm-hmm. For my children.
Yeah, exactly. So if you needed respite, how have you gone about finding respite? Or how would you encourage other foster parents to find respite if they need it?
So respite is something that isn't always easy to get. If you're reaching out to other foster parents that have foster children in their home, they may not be in a place where they can help you because they are in the midst of their own family attachment, connection, dysregulation, you know, all those right. things. And so sometimes it's hard to find somebody. So one of the things that I'm involved in personally, I work with the Keith Edmonds Foundation in Lebanon, mm-hmm. Tennessee. We're Foster 180, and I do foster parent resource for the parents that are in our community.
Yeah.
And so trying to connect those parents that need advice or need respite or need whatever. We have a support group that meets the first and third Mondays of every month for them to come and meet people and get together, foster parent associations. You can do the same thing. Make sure you attend those. Get to know other foster parents in your area. You're going to have to work to build your community.
Right.
Right. Because even if you have those two or three foster parents that you're the closest with, they might not always be available. Or if you have, you know, if you need a longer respite time mm-hmm. than prudent parenting, you know, you're going to want to find somebody that's equipped. And so one of the things that I've been very active in our community is to talk to local churches. Mm-hmm. If they have foster families that already exist in their church, talking to them about starting a wrap team around that foster family, people right. that would know the family, work with the family, bring meals to the family when they're going through hard things, and that family stays connected with that wrap team. And it mirrors Tennessee Kids Belongs. Mm-hmm. We follow their model. And with permission,
right.
Callie Prince is a very good friend of mine. We keep their logo on everything we use, and they're a great resource to us and our community. But we do it locally, mm-hmm. and I think that's a great way. If there is something you're connected to, if you do jiu-jitsu, I don't know, whatever you do, you know, find people in your group that you're already close with that would be willing to be background checked for you,
right?
You know, because that's really what it takes if you're gonna have respite. But if they do life with you already, it may not be your brother, sister, mom, dad, whatever, but it may just be that person that's already in your community that already has an interest in your family, is already, you know, maybe it's a teacher, you know,
right.
that you know that your child is in their class and they love the kid, you know. And so it's just finding who in your community already cares,
right?
And then going from there. And a lot of people in our community care. They would care if they knew.
Right.
I think there's a lot of just unknowing in our communities.
Right.
About what exists and what needs are there.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I do. It's just bringing awareness in our community that foster care is there.
Yeah.
We have kids that need our attention and love, and we can all be a part of that.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to open your house to foster, but there's something that you can do to help.
Right.
I can guarantee you there's something.
If somebody were interested in creating something like that, maybe they mm-hmm. don't have one, where would you direct them to do that?
I would get on Tennessee Kids Belong
okay.
website and look at what they're doing through their community page. Mm-hmm. They have faith, creatives, and business partners. Mm-hmm. And really what we're doing at Keith Edmonds Foundation is really following that same model. And so one of the things that Callie told me, she said, it's not about us having to bring it to you. It's just trying to get it to be implemented everywhere, because if it was implemented everywhere, kids would be taken care of a lot better.
Right.
Because our communities would understand what we're trying to do mm-hmm. and the risks that we're trying to keep our children from.
Right.
Right. All those risk factors that exist around our children, mm-hmm. you know, suicide, sex trafficking, prison time later, their children coming into foster care, all of those things that exist around our children. Mm-hmm. If we can cut a path earlier to them,
right,
as a community, not just as one foster home, mm-hmm. but as a community, and they see other people care too, mm-hmm. whether it's that group in your church or that group at Taekwondo, wherever, mm-hmm. There's other people that care about me too.
Right.
Josh Shipp says it only takes one caring adult.
Yes.
Let's give them a lot of caring adults.
Right. It only takes one, but you can't have too many.
That's right. So I think just reach out into your community where you already are. And I think people are open to it. There's going to be a different level that everybody's comfortable with. I have found that.
Right.
You can always reach out to Foster Renee. I would love to answer any questions that you have. Email me or call me, whatever. We have a Facebook page. So one of the things that I've noticed with working with Foster 180, there's people that really just want to donate, and that's fine because we do need funds to do some of the things that we do, mm-hmm. Such as the Connect dinners that I do with foster parents and things that we do for the children. Christmas was a big thing. We did a big Thanksgiving dinner, things like that. It does take money to do those things. So, you know, then we have people that love to organize things. You know, they want to, you know, help get the place and get the decorations. And, you know, they want to make sure that everybody knows when the support meeting is happening and all those kind of things.
Right.
And then we have our volunteers that actually want to be hands on with the kids. And I think you find that everywhere with foster. I think you have those three levels of people.
Right.
You know, and we need all three levels of people.
Yes.
And so I think the one thing that's important that we do with Foster 180 is during our support group, we provide child care, and that's provided by trauma-informed caregivers at the church. So I think it's important that, you know, our kids are met no matter where they are.
Right.
With those people that understand where they're coming from. I also think it's great that we're able to provide the child care because these kids need to know they're not the only ones that are coming to a support group for their parents. There's a lot of things that aren't normal about being a foster child.
Right.
And I think them coming together twice a month as kids just to play and do crafts and eat pizza together and just be goofy is important for them.
Yeah.
That they're not on an island somewhere.
Right. Just like you talked about that, you know, foster parents can understand other foster parents better. Same thing, right? If you've got foster children and maybe they feel like the only person in the world who's dealing with that, you know, and bringing them together with other children who have that same experience, and they know they're not alone, and those other kids understand some of those hardships they've been through that, you know, maybe their peers can't understand.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jenny, for joining us and sharing all of your self-care ideas and all the things you got from other foster parents. I really appreciate you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for this February 2020 edition of DCS Foster Parent Talks. And please come back and join us each month for additional topics.